It is time to talk handball again, everybody, and it has kicked off the final weekend of the EHF Euro 2026, and one can really say it performed up to our standards, and I would say let's not waste too much time and recap the day here a little bit and look at our semifinals that we had. We're going to start with the first one, Germany playing against Croatia, 31-28 in the end. Martin, can you give us a quick recap? How was the match?
Please make it quick.
Yeah, I will try to make it quick here. No, I believe it's actually started a little bit faster than I believed it would in terms of the scoring from both teams. And Croatia kept up with Germany. They started 7-6 here. Martinovic was on fire also in the beginning. And Germany also good at punishing Croatia with the 7-6 from Justus Fischer. Had a couple of time when he ran to the middle and scored an empty goal. But overall, in general, I think it was a good first half for both sides.
That 7-6, that seems to follow Germany throughout the tournament a little bit. So we all remember huge topic that there was with Andy Wolf and the Austrian guys. Was it comparable, the way Croatia played their 7-6 today and the Austrian 7-6?
I wouldn't say it's comparable because they play really, really different, because Austria is playing with all right-handed players. But I think it's a tool that Andy has to get used to it, you know, because a lot of coaches like it, and it's actually a good tool if you want to make something different.
Mm-hmm. It did help the Croatian game to slow down the German pace. We have seen it, I think it was in the first half where we compared the attacking times, and it was around 23 seconds for Germany and 43 seconds for Croatia. How ugly is it to play against a team like that?
Against who? Against Croatia or Germany?
Well, in that case, Croatia, because they really tried to slow down each and every attack.
I mean, that's their style of playing. It's tough to play against them, but I still think that they did really good in the first half time. I mean, 5-1 defense obviously functioned very well. Then I don't know why we didn't see it in the second half time. Also, 7-6 was quite okay. So there were some things that were pretty different from Croatia from first to second half time. But I mean, overall, we were satisfied with the battle. Indeed, I think we also expect maybe a bigger advantage, higher advantage of Germany in the first half time. But then we're going to talk after about the second half time. Yeah,
let's start into the second half because Germany somehow started to find their middle blockers. The middle blockers that finally got some touches on the ball. We missed that a little bit in the first half. What benefited Ivan Martinovic? So a good first one for him. Second one, to be better.
I think in general the Croatian team lacked a little bit of energy maybe in the beginning, and you could see that, and Germany took advantage of it. You know, the situation you speak about is used to Fischer having three blocks in the same defense. Not that often you see it, but then they actually bounced back later in the second half, but it was maybe a little bit too late, and Andy Wolf was also there today, and he won the goalkeeper battle towards Mandic and Kuzmanovic.
I mean, he did get the Grundfos Player of the Match award for it, with 31% of the saves. Eventually showed us once again, it's not always just about the numbers, but the timing as well, because he was the major reason why Germany was even able to pull away at all.
Yeah, well, I would say 31%, it's quite good. For him, it could be better, but it's quite good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that especially the first 15 minutes of the second half, Croatia had a very hard time to find good situations against him, and he was just adding more saves to his numbers, and I think it was the key point of the game.
At least defensively and offensively, as we have been talking about it today as well, the spread of German goal scorers is just nuts. So Lukas Zerbe being the only one scoring 6 goals, and then Goller at 4, Knorr at 4, Ustins at 4, Mertens at 4, Fischer at 4. Do they need that versatility to get close to Denmark this weekend, or will it have to be one guy that overperforms?
Well, I mean, everyone is this. There's a beautiful team performance. I think everyone is also extra happy because they were a part of a success and they scored enough. But I will go back to their defense. I think the what was a crucial point is like these two guys said. I mean, between number two and number five today, obviously was a key to put all back players of Croatia into the middle. So definitely they succeeded in that. And what I like in the attack of Germany, it's something different we saw in second half time. A lot of diagonal passes to the wings. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that's a coincidence, because you cannot pass six times in a second half time diagonal passes to the wings, and don't do that in the first half time. So I think they were scanning a Croatian defense a bit more. Probably they were sticking a bit more together. So I think they solved it really nicely, but hats off for a defense and for just creating intention of the Croatian attack.
But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but those diagonal passes to the wingers, they barely led to finishes there.
But they had a space to open the space, so the wings were scoring, and they had that really big angles. It's not a small ones; they were having a really big ones. Obviously, Croatia wanted to stop the middle also.
Mm-hmm. There's one thing that I'm concerned about, me as a German, looking towards the direction of Sunday. Germany.
Only one thing. Okay, then it's looking good. It's looking good for Germany then.
Yeah, I could name you some more, but I won't. Simply won't. Especially in these two games that we have seen today. Of course, we are going to talk a little bit about Denmark-Iceland as well. But one major difference, when Denmark pulls away 3-4 goals, it barely ever gets close again. Germany, in almost each and every game that they played throughout the tournament, they didn't seal the deal. So they always give their opponents the possibility to at least get close. And that's like the one major difference that I spot in between Germany and Denmark in their maturity to finish matches.
The major difference, I think it really...
That's exactly the major difference.
But for sure, we can put it like that.
I cannot believe what I have witnessed now.
No, I just mean that for me, Denmark has a little bit more quality. We will probably speak about it tomorrow if Germany beats Denmark, but I do believe they have a little
Sunday.
Bit more...
Sunday.
Yeah, sorry, Sunday. Experience in that? No, but of course, it's important to close the games, but... in the end, they want Germany, and they are in the final, and that many people haven't predicted. So the pressure is still on Denmark. That is, for me, also a big difference. But besides that, I can't recall the other games with Germany, you know, not closing them. They were in a very strong group, to fair respect to that. And then main round as well.
Yeah. True that. But on the other side, Denmark, they were holding against the pressure today already, because when Denmark is playing here in Boxen, of course, they are the favorites, but the pressure's on, especially if you haven't won that title for 14 years now. The game against Iceland, Victor, you analyzed it as one of the toughest matches you've ever seen.
From the physical point of view, for sure. It was crazy, you know. I couldn't believe how players were keep going and going and going after 55 minutes of this kind of physical contact, you know. It was very fast, it was very tough, and yeah, I was amazed by the toughness and the speed of the game.
Mm-hmm. And it did show at some point, for instance, in the penalties that we've seen. So 11 on one side and 8 on the other. So it was tough, but at times above the allowed as well.
Probably, yes, but I mean, this is what we expected. Honestly, both teams are the best in the world in playing one against one. So, I mean, you cannot expect nothing else than this one. That's how they say, you cannot analyze too much, like from tactical point of view, because in the end, everything was finished like that, mostly. So, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be against Germany the case. I think Germany doesn't play that much one against one, so it's going to be interesting, a bit different style, definitely, than these two teams today. So, but I don't know, I'm looking forward. The intensity is going to be high for sure, because today I think Germany got some minutes of rest playing against Croatia. They didn't get in some parts of the game. They were not running that much because Croatia was holding the tempo.
Yeah, I mean, especially compared to the Danish game. So when we're looking at Germany being able to then close it with a 31-28, and Denmark, Well, as I said, they have been leading throughout the game, and I personally didn't get the feeling that it got close again, but Iceland didn't stop playing physically and going all in.
Oh, they never stop, and I have huge respect for Iceland, the way they played this game, and they are warriors. They never give up, small Vikings, or small, I don't know, but they're Vikings, and you know, as Victor said, physical game, and it's the small details, some save. They could have had a couple of more saves there, and they struggle a little bit to get the open goals in the second half, and there Denmark took a two-goal lead, three-goal lead. But for me, actually, with Simon Hall not being able to play, I was very amazed by Thomas Arnelsen, the way that he went into the defense together with Saustrup. I don't know if they ever played together in that defense, and also Mads Høxer in the end. And that,
I was just about to ask, have you ever seen so many different middle blocks for Denmark within one game after those two-minute suspensions in the first 5 minutes and then all those switches that we've seen?
No, I don't recall in recent times at the moment, but yeah, it was a good start from Iceland, you know, leading with double up with 6-3 and 2 minute suspension for Hall and also for Saustrup, but with Lukas Jørgensen out, with Berhold out, you know, and they couldn't call in the two other ones they had in the squad also because of injuries. They had to come up with something. But so in that sense, with the two young guys, Arnelsen and Høxer, I believe they controlled it very, very well. And yeah, the intensity was high in the second half. And shout out to Iceland. I really believe they performed very well.
And you just said it there too. Both teams could have had some more saves. It was 6-6 saves in the end. Why did Denmark still win the goalie duel?
That's a hard question, actually.
We would have to
look at the turnovers, and I think it was the moment of the saves. You know, they had the same number of saves, but as we said, Kevin Moller, he stepped in a crucial moment, and he made three saves that were very, very important for his team.
I just gave him a high five when he went out, and he said, "I said, well played, Kevin." He said, "Yeah, only two saves," and then he walked out like it was nothing. Like it's but they came at a good. I don't know if it was three or two, but it came at a good point, you know. And many of those saves in general in the game was 7 meters.
But who would predict that we will not have that many saves as we expected in semifinals today? Honestly, I mean, Andy has 10. That's fine, but all the others, I mean,
yes,
I would never say.
That's true.
They got many shots from the wings and near distance. I don't know if that plays a role because they Iceland
sometimes
had
there, sometimes not.
Yeah.
I mean, still.
Omar Ingi had one from further distance than what they normally do. Pytlick missed one or two from far distance. But no, obviously with world class goalkeepers, then you maybe had expected at least a little bit more. But overall, I believe that the game was had more speed and definitely and somehow also more intensity for me. It was a good second semi-final. Not that the first one was not, but Iceland put up a very good fight.
So what do we do with these circumstances now? Denmark, after a very, very tough game, still go in and as the favorites, Victor, on Sunday?
I think we all agree on that.
No.
Even even though you are German.
Yes.
We all agree.
Maybe
on
overtime
that.
for Martin.
Well, yeah. We haven't seen one today. So no overtime at all. Will we see an overtime on Sunday?
We will see.
And then it's going to be in the
That's not the answer I was looking for.
Then it's going to be in the bronze medal match if there's going to be an overtime. That's my prediction.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it comes.
Okay. Not the hottest of all hot takes. It was a great day of handball that we will conclude just now. Thank you guys for an awesome day. Tomorrow, when you guys are listening to this, this will probably be too late, but at 10 a.m. there will be the media call where we will talk with all the teams. Of course, you can hear it here at the Spin We Talk Handball once again once we're done there. But up until then, catch you guys around on Sunday when it will be time to talk handball again.